Hello and welcome to Solo Selling with Trevor White. Tonight I'm going to talk about a recent sale I did from Vuta Marina in Fiji back to New Zealand in the town of Papua. So I was finishing my solo sailing season in Fiji. Well, it wasn't completely solo, but by the time I was leaving, Rehan had departed back to Holland and other people I'm hanging out with, they had left. So it was time to leave. It was getting close to cyclone season, in fact. There was a cyclone in Vanuatu at the time, and I was waiting for that to disappear so I could then sail south. So I've been sort of sailing around Fiji for about 3 months, I suppose, Tonga and Fiji. Just come back from the Asawas. Been pretty rough up there, so I decided, I wasn't going to do any more sailing the season. Well, the winds had come in, so, sailing around the Asawas was very difficult, and I was in Vuta. Vuta wasn't really a place you want to hang out too long. So it was time to move on for me. And there was a big ass cyclone giving Vanuatu a bit of a touch up. So they had, I think, up to 300 kilometer hour winds. So, yeah, whilst I was in Vuta, I was watching this cyclone. And the cyclone, was moving through Vanuatu. It was heading up to the north. So I decided that was probably a good indication that it was time to head south. And I thought, just by the type of season we're having, that we're going to get more cyclones as well. So instead of heading across to Vanuatu or down to Noumea, I decided that we'll go south. And up until that point, I'd been considering leaving the boat in Vuta, potentially. But yeah, after the first couple of cyclones, I decided to take the boat to New Zealand, put it up on the hard, and it'd be safer. So once I made my decision to head south, I had a good look at the weather. And I've been tracking this cyclone, watching it through Vanuatu. And oops, potentially it was going to come to Fiji, but it moved north and it started to dissipate. So it was losing power and it was getting smaller. And yeah, the conditions looked pretty good to head across to New Zealand. So I made arrangements with the customs people in Vuta Marina. So there's a customs representative there. Arranged to clear out. So in the morning, I went down to customs. Basically, I think I was there at 9 o'clock in the morning. They did all the paperwork, cleared out to Fiji, sorry, to New Zealand. Went into the office, paid my bills, arranged for the boat staff to get me out of the pen. Because one of the problems in Vuta is you're crammed in pretty tight. Like you've got boats on both sides, you've got moorings to the stern and to the bow, so you're anchored, not anchored, but you're moored to a wall on the bow, and on the stern you've got moorings that go down into the bed of the basin. It's difficult to get out by yourself. It's very difficult to get out by yourself when you're solo. So got the boat ready. The staff came around. I dropped off the bow lines. There was a bit of a wind, light wind from my stern. So yeah, they put a line onto the stern, and they gave me a bit of a pull. Basically pulled the boat out as I gently sort of pushed the other boats out of the way. A couple of people gave me a hand as well, as tends to happen when you're solo. People quickly give you a hand. So once I'd got the boat out, I then asked the dinghy just to push my nose around. Once I get wind on a certain point on my boat, it's very difficult to maneuver. And the basin was quite tight. I had another yacht in the middle of the basin. There was boats everywhere, so I didn't want to find myself getting drifting into another boat, particularly when I hadn't had a lot of boat speed either. But yeah, got out pretty eventful, or uneventful rather, and slowly started motoring out of the basin, waving a few people goodbye that I'd met. Most of the people I was hanging out with had already left. So yeah, I just basically motored down the channel. It was quite a nice day, maybe 10 knots of breeze. It wasn't the perfect point that I wanted, but it was still some breeze. Got through the channel pretty easily. I think it was about a half tide, so that was okay. Got out. Once I got out cleared the channel, got all my fenders on board, secured them. I then got the main up, and how I get the main up is I tend to face into the wind or motor into the wind, set the autopilot, and then I move forward, raise the main. Once that's raised, I must move back into the cockpit, secure it, get it on a point of sail, and then I'll get the headsail out, and that's how I do it most of the time. And I actually got a decent bit of wind in the right direction, so I was motoring across to Mamai Bay, Nuvolu Passage. So I had to sort of go about 10 miles to clear the reef at the southern tip of Fiji. So yeah, I suppose it was probably 11 o'clock by the time I got out and cleared everything. And I wanted to be well outside the reef by sunset. which wasn't a big ask. Even motoring, it was going to be pretty easy. I think there was about three or four of us heading out that day. So I just slowly motored across, just putting along about 5 knots, bit of motor sailing. And it wasn't too stressful at all. Got a brew on, had a cup of coffee, made a bit of lunch, and probably about, I don't know, I suppose I was there about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Got down to Mamai Bay and Nuvulu Passage. I was only sailing slowly. It's quite a bit of swell running, to be honest, though. As I was going out through the passage, I had to go in and line it all up. But essentially, I just follow the shipping leads when I'm going through a place that I don't know very well. Always find it a bit more comforting to, follow the leads, and that way you can't stuff up too much. But there was a lot of swell coming through, so it was quite rolly, and so that meant I knew that I was going to be a bit rolly on the outside. And what is always remarkable though is you go from a essentially what is a large bay inside the reef, and then as you get up near the reef, you've got waves just crashing across these big pieces of reef, and you're going through the passage, and you think, yeah, it's a bit more daunting going through there at night. So I was quite glad to be going through there during the daylight hours, even though it's got lights. I still find it better to do these things in the daylight hours than to do them at night. But yeah, I cleared out, got out about a mile outside the reef, and then I just started to a bit of a broad reach down the outside of the reef, started to find the best point of sail. So I was that stage, I was probably sailing south southwest. It was going to take me 24 hours, I suppose, to clear Fiji. The winds were quite light, it's probably 10 knots. So yeah, just got the Jannara out and cruised along slowly, set the autopilot, got out a book, and that was me. I was on course. I had to watch for yachts and fishing boats and ships because we were close to Fiji and there's plenty of boats around. But yeah, it was relatively uneventful that night. The wind got even lighter, it's probably about 5 knots, so I was only sailing very, very slowly. And yeah, a few of the other boats that had left with me, they were just hauling ass. They were in a rush to get back to New Zealand, and I figured that, we're going to have light winds for a few days. I wouldn't worry about it too much. The cyclone that I've been watching, it had been moving to the north, and so that didn't worry me too much at that time. But there was a couple of big lows forming off Australia, which were a bit of a concern. So I had Starlink, so that was where I was getting my weather information from. It tends to be quite good. I quite like Starlink for weather. You got decent fast internet, you can pull up anything you need. So that's where I was getting my weather every day. Next morning, or that night, I keep a watch of probably hour down, hour up, set my guard zones on my AIS and my radar, particularly when I'm in around islands. I'm always worried about ships and fishing boats, but I didn't have any problems at all that night. And I don't think I even saw another vessel the whole evening. So the next day was again, it was relatively light winds, but I couldn't get a course directly to New Zealand. I was heading more towards Norfolk Island. Again, light winds just motoring along. And that's when I start to get into a bit of a routine. I go out early in the morning, I check all the rigging. I go around, I check the port side of the boat, the bow and starboard, and then the stern. I'm just checking all my rigging just to make sure I don't see any hairline fractures in anything. Make sure there's no chafing. Try and reduce chafing wherever I can. It becomes a bit of a problem on your boat if you don't monitor the chafing. Check the dinghy's locked down tight. Everything's good. And then I just go down, make breakfast, cup of coffee, check the engine oils. And that's generally my morning routine. Then I'll check on my courses, get the weather up again. I don't tend to run, Starlink all the time. It gets a bit expensive when you're out at sea. I use the RV version, and I use the minimal paid plan, which is sort of paid by the gigabyte. So I just turn it on, download what I need, turn it back off again. It tends to work out a bit more affordable that way. But yeah, when I was looking at the cyclone that had been moving to the north, that sort of had started to change course again. So that was a bit alarming, but I'd made my choice. I was heading south, and I didn't think it was going to impact me at all. And where I was, it was dead calm, flat as, beautiful weather. So I just kept pushing along, and I was trying to conserve fuel, so I wasn't using much fuel at all. I was just sailing as best I could. I was probably only doing 3 or 4 knots. Full main, full Genoa, mizzen, and yeah, it was just light winds, but it was really pleasant. So yeah, again, yeah, that day is just spent reading, pottering around the boat, doing a few jobs, cleaning up a bit of paint here and there, all the little things that you've got to do on a boat. I also tend to do a lot of polishing of the stainless steel when I'm on these sort of days. I just go around and polish up the stainless. I work from one side of the boat to the other side of the boat, and I tend to work from the bow to the stern. And that also, allows you to see if there's any issues with any of your welds or corrosion getting into anything. Yeah, you tend to have a good look at things when you're cleaning them. But again, yeah, fairly uneventful day. Cooked a bit of lunch. In flat weather, I tend to cook, as opposed to just in stormy weather, I might make a wrap or a bit of soup. But yeah, in nice weather, I'll cook a decent meal, try and make the most of it. So I think I made a bit of pasta for lunch, had a stew for dinner, and just got into my night routine. Again, hadn't seen any boats. Most of the boats that I had left with were long past me. They were using up all the fuel. They were bigger boats as well, though. There's a couple of big catamarans and a big 70-foot sailboat. So they carried, quite a bit of fuel, whereas I only carry 300 litres in the tank, and I carry another 100 litres in jerry cans as a reserve. So I wanted to maintain my fuel supply for getting closer to New Zealand if I got caught in any bad weather. So yeah, at that stage, the wind was even getting lighter, so I ended up having to use my fuel reserve. And over that night, I was motor sailing, or rolled up the Genoa, put a reef in the main to stop it from flapping around so much. I tend to leave it up, it stops your boat from rolling about so much. But I tend to also reef it so it's not slapping. I think I even dropped the mizzen because it was just flapping around. Gently motor sailed along, probably doing 3 or 4 knots. And the next day, that's when I started to know this cyclone was changing course. It was starting to head south again from Fiji. So that was a little bit alarming. But at this stage, it was still, it was a long way away. It was probably 1,000 miles, give or take. And so I thought I'd just stay my course. But yeah, as I monitored a bit more closely every 6 hours, I check out with Starlink and see what was going on. But yeah, I was paying a bit more attention to it as it started to head south. And yeah, I just continued my routine, sailing south. And at that stage, what was I then? I was probably about 300 miles south of Fiji, cruising along. I was using the autopilot as opposed to the wind vane because it was in really light conditions. And my wind vane tends to work a lot better in heavy conditions than light conditions, even though I also have a tiller pilot attached to my wind vane, so I can operate that. But I had plenty of sunshine. I was producing more power than I was using, even with the fridge and the autopilot running. So I just put the main autopilot on. It was working like a beast. And it's good to use all these things. I tend to rotate through things to make sure they're all functioning correctly. So yeah, just using the main autopilot. I wasn't using much power when you're in light conditions. It's probably only using about 3 amps. So I was producing anywhere to 20 or 30 amps an hour of power when I was on full solar. And up in Fiji, you tend to produce a lot of power up there. It's nice and sunny. And of an evening, I then tend to use that power over the course of the evening. I probably use about 100, 120 amps of a night on the fridges and the autopilots. So yeah, I just continued heading south, and the next day I started to get a bit more concerned about this cyclone. It was definitely heading south, and it might, whether it was going to go back towards Noumea or whether it was going to head down south. And like New Zealand got a bit of a touch up not that long ago from a large cyclone, so they do come south. So at that stage, I was also starting to look at the weather from Australia. There was a low forming off Australia. And so now I had a cyclone to the north and a low to the west. And I was just trying to work out the best way to go to New Zealand. I was either going to go to Apua or down to Whangarei. It didn't worry me where I went into. I was looking more towards going to Apua and exploring the Bay of Islands a little bit. Hadn't been there before. And it's also the closest point to Fiji. And on my customs clearance, customs information, I told them it was going to be Apua or Whangarei. So yeah, keeping an eye on the weather, I started to motor sail a little bit because again, I had almost no wind at all. It was like completely glassed out the next day. And so yeah, I start to use my fuel reserve a little bit and just gently motoring along. And at that point, I needed to make a decision whether I was going to hang around out there and wait for the low to pass or push in and keep heading south and hopefully avoid the cyclone. So it was a bit unusual situation to find myself in, a big low coming across, cyclone to the north. Eventually that cyclone was going to give me weather that I would feel. And the low was definitely going to give me weather I would feel. So yeah, I either needed to hang out in the middle of between halfway from New Zealand to Fiji or push further south. So I decided in my situation, I was going to push further south. What I didn't expect happening was the cyclone and the low to join essentially and create a squeeze. But that's what I was going to get. And so I made a decision to head south. So I kept motoring. I was basically in the complete doldrums, glassed out, motoring along. And I needed to motor for probably 24 hours before I was going to get any wind again. So that's what I did. Just kept motoring south. And the next day I started to get the winds, which was good. It came through at, about 10 knots. It was nice to get off the motor and just, sail again. And I used that opportunity as well in those light conditions to transfer all my jerry cans into my main tank. I figured if I was going to get into some really heavy weather, it was better to have the fuel in the tanks already instead of in my jerry cans. So my reserve was sort of put back into the main tank, and that turned out to be quite a good condition or good choice because it got dramatically worse for me over the next couple of days. But yeah, once I was sailing along, I got, I was sailing quite well for a while. Like it was just punching along. Still, my course wasn't perfect. I was heading more south southwest than south. And that wasn't desirable. I was trying to actually make more of a south southeast, to be honest. But you take what you get when you're in the ocean. And the weather, yeah, at that stage, I knew I was going to get a bit of a pasting, but I didn't think it would be too bad. I thought I'd probably get 30, 40 knots. And I thought, be okay. So kept sailing along the rest of that day. I just again, morning routine, go through every day is just check all the rigging, go through making breakfast, do a bit of writing, okay, I read a lot, listen to a lot of podcasts. So as I'm working on the boat, I'll be listening to a podcast, cleaning the stainless or, doing little jobs that I have around the boat. Also, I tend to clean inside the boat quite a lot. Keep your boat nice and neat and tidy, and that way, you see if there's any problems. And, I noticed the winds were increasing, so, I probably put one reef in at that stage in the late afternoon. And yeah, the winds were getting stronger, so I'd filled the main a bit. I put on my staysail, and I'd reef the main. I had one or two. I probably had two reefs in by late afternoon. It's about 25 knots, and my theory on reefing is I tend to reef quite early, get the reefs in, and then I don't have to worry about it. So again, a tip from an old sailor is just as soon as you think about reefing, it's already too late, so you should have reefed. And as soon as I think about it, I reef. I don't dwell on it, I just do it. I can always shake them out. But yeah, cruising along, set up a courses. I started to get a little bit more south now with the winds increasing in strength. And that night, I was getting stronger, so I got a probably about dusk, I put my third reef in. I put a reef in the mizzen. I filled up a fair bit of the Genoa. And I had the staysail out. So, I was pretty much set up for heavy weather. And yeah, I at that stage settled in for a night of sailing. I had a soup for dinner and a wrap. It's starting to get into heavy weather food again now. Secured the boat, went around, checked everything. I tend to check all my cupboards, make sure things are not going to fly out. And made sure the boat was actually ready for some heavy weather, tied everything down again, or tightened everything, that's everything was already tied down. And yeah, then I tend to get a bit more sleepy out in the middle of the ocean. I've got my AIS. There's nothing in 100 miles of me that I could see. Put my radar on when I'm at night if I worry about it. But yeah, I tend to have the radar on about a 5 mile guard zone, AIS on about a 5 mile guard zone. And I just settled into my night routine. Get up, check things out, go back to sleep, and I try and get about an hour's sleep. And at this stage, I was cold. I was asleep for a few hours. I was very comfortable, and conditions are getting worse. It was probably blowing 30, 35. The boat was still sailing really well. I still had the autopilot on at that stage. I was cruising along. It was heeled over, but I was in one of my bunks with lee boards on, so it was very comfortable sailing. And then in the middle of the night, I just got absolutely caned. I had this massive storm come through with no warning, and the first thing I knew was I basically rolled out of bed. But I was rolling the wrong way. I was rolling towards the roof of the boat. I'd been knocked flat. Yeah, and it sounded like I felt like I'd been hit by a ship, to be honest. Boat was right over on its side, and it was staying there. So whatever hit us hard, and we were just getting flogged, absolutely flogged. And then I just got hit again and again and again, and it was just non-stop. It was like almost impossible to get out of bed. I was getting, thrown around so badly. But yeah, it came through pretty hard, and then it continued to stay that way. So, I had stuff from the other side of the boat thrown on top of me. I had a draw from the other side of the boat to land on my head. I had things that hadn't fallen out of cupboards getting thrown out of cupboards. I had kitchen drawers getting thrown out. Some glasses that are in a glass rack. They got tossed out and smashed on the floor against all the cutlery. It was a complete fuck fight, to be honest. So yeah, you're trying to deal with that. You're trying to deal with the noise of this thing when it comes through, and trying to tidy things up. And I don't tend to wear shoes when I'm inside the boat, and I had broken glass everywhere, so I'm trying to find a pair of shoes to put on. Trying to move around the boat and end up getting glass in my feet. And then I had to sit around there, get the glass out of my feet, get some sea boots on, try and tidy up the shit all over the boat. There was just stuff everywhere. It was just absolute chaos. I mean, thankfully I had the boat nice and tight. I had all the lee boards in, the hatches all tight. I had the big air vents off. Everything was locked down, so I didn't have to worry about water getting into the boat. But I just had to spend a bit of time cleaning up the inside of the boat so I could move around and safely without getting any more glass in my feet. Yeah, and then get upstairs, open the hatch, ease off the main. I'm easily travel around, so I'd try and ease as much wind out of the sail as I could. Only had the staysail running at that stage. No genoa. It was completely furled up and tied off, and eased the main out a bit more. So it was as eased out as I could get it without flogging. And then I decided I just had waves crashing across the boat. Like, they were just crashing on top of the boat. Where I'd open the hatch, I could do most of what I wanted without leaving the actual cockpit. And I had waves just crashing over the cockpit itself. So there's nothing I could do outside at that stage other than just douse the main completely. But I decided to leave it where it was. It was a bit dangerous to be getting on the decks. There was just big waves just crashing over everything. So closed the hatch, locked it, and went back to bed. Sometimes you just got to suck it up, and there's not much you can do. So yeah, at that stage, I just waited for the worst of it. I mean, I was looking at the wind meter, and I was sitting between the on my bottom step, looking up at my chart plotter, and a little spot where I don't get thrown around too much. I just lock myself in there, and I had 78 knots coming through, and it sounded like 78 knots coming through too. It was just roaring. The noise inside the boat was just punishing. But the worst of the inside of the boat was cleaned up. I had broken stuff in the sink. They'd most of the drawers back in, or just stowed in somewhere where they wouldn't go anywhere. And yeah, I decided just to clean up what I could inside the boat. Got that sort of ship shape again, and then just got back into bed. And yeah, I didn't really get any sleep. It was just noisy, and boat kept, just kept getting knocked flat. So it was like that for the rest of the night, to be honest. It was just terrible. And there's not much you can do. I mean, my autopilot was still managing it quite comfortably. The although you know, every time you get knocked flat, you know, it doesn't help the boat. But yeah, went back to bed, just laid in bed trying to get some sleep. Yeah, towards the morning, the worst of the assault had sort of eased off. And that stage, I got the main down, and I hove to, so I just hove the boat to. Like there weren't waves crashing over the boat at this stage, so I decided just to hove to and ride it out as best I could. And it just stayed, you know, a solid probably 50, 60 knots. And so yeah, I just went to bed, read a book. What else do you do? You know, there's nothing you can do when you get these big blows come through. You can, you know, you can try and sail in them, but the reality is you can't really sail in them. And so yeah, my boat was just completely hove to. It was pretty comfortable. Yeah, it's a heavy boat. It tends to, yeah, ride out being hove to really well. And so I had a reef in the mizzen, and the staysail up, and that worked quite comfortably. You know, tied off the wheel, and yeah, just sat in bed reading some books. You know, couldn't get any Starlink. The weather had made it impossible for a data connection. And so, and I don't tend to run any other comms, so I don't tend to worry about trying to communicate with people other than when I'm on Starlink. It would have been handy to probably had something else to get some weather forecast, but I knew what was coming through. And but what I didn't know was there was the cyclone, and the big low had created a squeeze, and it was a squeeze that had hit me. It was yeah, these two weather systems had created a, you know, quite a nasty little system, combined system, which had hit me, unfortunately. And I was still, yeah, 3 or 4 days out of New Zealand, and now I was just hove to, and I spent the next 2 days hove to, just riding out the worst of this storm. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You just, I don't even, most of the time I don't even leave the boat. Like I try to get up once a day and, you know, go around the boat and just check everything, make sure everything's good, and make sure there's no chafing, you know, check the rigging. But you know, during the course of that night, you know, my paddle board had been snapped in half and got washed off the boat. I'd lost some fenders where the ropes had snapped. It was tying those on. So yeah, it had been an expensive evening. It'd probably been a $1,500 evening. And then over the course of the next couple of days, the clew in the mizzen got blown out, so I had to get the mizzen down and tie that off. The staysail had got torn, so I had to get the staysail out and swap that out for a storm jib. Got the storm jib up. Should have had the storm jib on already, but I didn't, so I ended up swapping that out for the storm jib, and the staysail got, you know, torn in a number of places. The main had a tear in it as well from when that heavy wind came through initially. So yeah, it'd been an expensive couple of days. The rest of the boat was in good shape, I thought, but what I hadn't noticed was with the initial, you know, force of that wind coming through, it had actually ripped a section of my timber rail off the side of the boat. So it had just been hitting so hard, and obviously there's a flaw in the timber somewhere. And yeah, it took about a 2 meter section of timber rail off the side of the boat. Just kept smashing it at the same point. So overall, yeah, it was an expensive night, or expensive couple of days, to be honest. But yeah, after a couple of days, the wind eased off, and we got down to about 70, not 70, we got down to about 35 knots again, 35, 40 knots. I got the trysail up, and trysail and a storm jib, and started to sail again. You know, wind was in a better direction for sailing towards New Zealand, to Apua, and set my course, and yeah, started sailing. It was pretty bloody uncomfortable. It was like really, really uncomfortable sailing. I was getting thrown around a lot, but I could hold a reasonable course. I could do about 3 knots, and that's what I did. I just started sailing. Figured that I had nothing to lose anyway. I'd already got beaten up, so I sailed for the next 3 days in those shit conditions. And at that stage, it started to ease off even more. And about about a 24 hours out of Apua, wind eased off quite a lot, but the conditions are really uncomfortable. It was just rolly as anything, and I just kept sailing towards Apua, and in the end I was motorsailing. So I probably sailed the last 24 hours motorsailing, and it wasn't great. I was using quite a bit of fuel. In fact, I was using quite a lot of fuel, but I needed to get in and get away from the next blow that was coming through. There was another big low about to hit New Zealand again, so I didn't want to be out there for the next one. I'd already had enough from that last one. And I also discovered at that stage I had a big piece of timber, that would come loose on the side of the boat, which was one of my rub rails. So I had to secure that to the side of the boat, so I wasn't going to do any more damage. And the next morning I got into Apua, probably about 5:30, 6 o'clock as I was coming in. And I was coming down sort of Battleship Island. I could barely see it, like it was just completely fogged out coming in. It was really, really rolly as well. Big swells running. There was no boats. I mean, the only boat that came through was a fishing boat heading out to sea, as they do, crazy buggers. I even got away from him, so he must have realised how much of a pasting I got, because you don't normally get away from fishing boats. But I came into the Bay of Islands, and visibility was very bad. It was pissing down rain most of the morning, and probably about I suppose about 8 o'clock in the morning, I got up to Apua and contacted customs, worked out where the hell I was going to go, and then I tied up to the customs wharf in Apua Marina. So that was my trip. It was so nearly about 1,100 miles, probably about near 1,300 by the time I got back. What did we damage? We torn the staysail, the main, the mizzen, completely blew out the mizzen. Big chunk of timber missing off the side of the boat. Lost the paddleboard and lost a couple of fenders. And used all my fuel, or nearly all my fuel, getting back. So overall, it wasn't an ideal trip. It wasn't what I planned. I would have liked it to have been a bit more pleasant. You take what you get when you're in the ocean. And what could I have fixed? I probably should have sailed harder initially. Got across. I think it's probably what I learned from that trip was just to push as hard as I could. But then again, I don't carry enough fuel, so I could have pushed hard at the start, and maybe I wouldn't have had fuel for the end of the trip. So it's every trip you go on, you've just got to weigh up the odds of what you need to do. I made my choices early, and it didn't work out for me that time. Most of the time, it works out okay. But in this case, I got a fair flogging from the tail end of a cyclone and a big low. But anyway, thanks for joining me, and I'll safe sailing. I'll see you at the next time.